You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna...
Richard.
...challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot. There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his father's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Wall. Brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And, well, Tom, is you remember that commercial about New York City, you know, the pace and the salsa and all that? Well, Tom's out there testing salsa. Not really, but he's out there in, on a business trip, and as he told you last week, he at the end of this week or next week, he'll have a big announcement to make to everybody, and things are going well, but he can't make it tonight because he's involved with a lot of meetings and things over there right now, but there are some other things that I'd like to do to start off the show here. Our first guest, Sharon, dropped off here. He'll be right back, probably having a little bit of phone problem or something. But I'd like to, I got a hold of a good old friend of ours, a Bigfoot family friend of ours. What happened was she's got a knee surgery. That's Jody. You remember Jody from North Carolina? I'm sure everybody remembers her. And she's had a lot of medical problems here in the last few months. And what I would like to try to do there is today she goes into today she went in for her knee surgery. She'll be in there for a week or more, a couple weeks, and just like to send out a well, all of us could send out maybe a little prayer, a little, if you're not a religious person, well wishes, something to boost her spirits up. It all counts. I'm the product of that. And so we wish Jody the very best in her knee surgery and hope she recovers soon. She will be back on the air here with us in a couple of weeks when she gets better there. She wanted to come on. I talked to her at great length. Also, a good friend of ours, Dave, from Four Corners, New Mexico. Happy birthday. He'll be on here a little later on. And, Teron just dropped off again. He's having problems with his phone. But that's okay. A couple of things that are going on here. Bring on Steve. Steve, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, gentlemen. I don't want to. It's been in the news all week, or, you know, for the last few days here, quite a bit. Everybody knows it's the Boston Marathon and the thing that happened there and what's going on there. But I tell you, I watch a lot of world news, BBC, Korean broadcast, and a few others. And let me tell you, I mean, that has hit every single news thing that I've seen pretty big. And, God, what an impression it makes on other countries that we have all these kinds of problems in America.
Yeah. Well, if you remember right, and I'm not trying to change the subject because this show's basically about Bigfoot, but
yeah.
Remember when we went to war with Iraq? And it was on the news that Iraq were building missiles out of propane tanks.
I know.
How much better can China get?
I know, but it's just sad that things like that can happen. And then right after that, there was a news story. I don't know if anybody heard of it, but both the president and the senator got a. Of course, they didn't get mail personally. I mean, they have a big mail post office that sorts all this mail out before they ever get it. But they had some, the ricin's a castor bean stuff. Ricin is a very very toxic poison. And
especially brown rice. It's got, cyanide in it, natural cyanide.
Yeah. But it's a sad thing. I mean, that there are people out there thinking of ways to get rid of people.
Or in other words, would you call it depopulation?
Well, no. I think they don't have anything better to do than figure out their own little evil ways. I think sometimes they just get caught up in the thing. I'm sure that the people that planted those bombs didn't have the original intention of what the outcome was.
Right, sure, I understand.
It was something else, but it's just sad that people get taken in and carried away to such extreme.
Right,
that
I think my
so
thought,
much damage hurt to other people.
Right, my thought about China, and I don't think China is meaning to go to war with us or anything like that. I think what China is basically doing is like a child having a temper tantrum because a child wants a little bit of attention from its mother or its father to let them know, hey, look, we're here. We need help. I think that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, enough for the news, I guess. We just,
I don't watch it, so I don't know.
But it was just disheartening to me. Our first guest tonight, oh, darn, I had Teron on there for 5 minutes, and by golly, I lost him again. Teron, and as soon as he dials back in here, we're going to resume with Teron. He's had some activity going on there in the reservation, on the Choctaw Reservation down there in Mississippi, and some pretty pretty neat stuff. Here he is, Teron. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh yeah, signal keeps on coming in and out. And
I understand.
Call in.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
Well, Zoran, why don't you let us know what's going on in your area down there, my friend? Quite a bit. Oops, did I lose you again? I guess we lost. Yeah, he dropped off. It must be the the signal quality and where he's at there of the cell phone towers and things like that. That happens once occasionally. Let him dial back in again, and we'll try to continue on. Meanwhile, there's a couple of things I'd like to bring up. The Bigfoot Hotline, really active all over. Well, anyway, the Bigfoot Hotline has been very active, for the last several months. Really, I mean, really, really active. Calls from all over. I mean, you would not believe all the calls we've got, more than ever before. And much of the sightings and the incidents are taking place not way out in the wilderness where there's nobody yet. In the past few months is more so than ever before. And these aren't in the deep woods or anywhere. I mean, these are right here in residential areas. For instance, in Theron's case, he's right next to a house right next to the casino is a tribal chief's house. And visual sighting right there in front of the house. And hundreds of people going in and out of this casino. I mean, it's amazing. In Michigan, one night I had three calls in within an hour and a half from Michigan, from different parts of Michigan. And they were all residential areas. One woman heard the rattling of her garbage can, and she went up, took a look, and there's all these footprints. Are you there now?
Yeah, it just keeps on going off.
Well, try to get your 2 cents worth in here, buddy. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we're still having sightings and encounters here in Mississippi on the Choctaw Indian Reservation. And, the creatures are still around here, and searching for Bigfoot was here about five times. And, I believe they got a lot of good evidence. But, these creatures are still here.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell us about it. Tell us what's going on. Tell us.
Okay, well, last Friday night, near my house here, about a mile from my house, a person went driving to his home and drives up into the driveway, and when the light shined on the woods in the back, there he was standing, and they described it as a really tall, hairy, huge creature standing there, and it had orange eyes, or yellow eyes, rather, and it just turned and walked away, and they were really scared of it. And the next day, they decided to go look around where the creature was standing, and sure enough, there was huge, huge footprints all over in the mud. So that's the latest thing that happened here. And
You told me somewhere near 20 inches, like that.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Person that, I think their signal is going off. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can. I still have you, Jerome.
Yeah, it's going in and out, So anyway, we've had three sightings that I know of. Well, the other one was some people went fishing out here near here on the river, and something kept on throwing things at them, and through the thickets they could barely make out what it was, but it kept on throwing sticks and stuff at them while they were out fishing at the river. And the other one was about 30 miles from here. Some people were fishing out in a canal, and something threw something at them. And they looked up, and there was this huge creature standing on the other side. And they were scared, and they ran off. They ran, and the creature ran beside them on the other side of the little canal there. And they said that it kept on throwing things at them, and they got in the car. They left their fishing supplies and everything over there and just got in the car and just took off,
God, amazing.
These creatures are still existent, and I've been having people have been telling me, calling me, or coming by to visit me and telling me of their sightings and stuff like that. So, this thing is really exciting, really thrilling for me. You know, I haven't had a sighting since 1972 when I was a teenager, and I saw this big, huge thing, out in the woods at night, and we had a campfire going, and somebody got up and said, "What's that standing there?" And it took a step and stepped on a branch or something, and it snapped, and everybody ran. And we all ran out of the woods, and it was behind us, and it was going through the woods. You could hear the footsteps stomping, and you could hear branches breaking. It was just following us, you know, and that was the time that I saw it, but my relatives have been seeing the creature on and off for several years now, and my sister's seen it so many times, and she's seen a group of them at one time, and then she saw one near my mom's house. The creature was just walking into the woods with a deer on his shoulder, you know. So there's a lot of stories, you know, and since Tom and them were over here, you know, and people see the sign that says searching for Bigfoot. So,
yeah,
people didn't really talk about it till Tom and them came over here, and that started a big thing here about Bigfoot, and people came out and just started telling what they saw, you know, or what other people told them what they saw. So right now we have a lot of Bigfoot activity here on the Choctaw Indian Reservation.
Yeah.
And, you know, the creature's walking around through yards now. And
I know. That was amazing. Your tribal chief, chief's house right next to the casino there? It's down from the casino, but I mean.
A lady came over last summer and wanted to talk to me, so I was wondering why she wanted to talk to me. She said, "I got something to tell you." And she said it was her and her son going toward the town, Philadelphia, which is about 3-4 miles down the road from the casino. And she said it was 3:30 in the afternoon, and between, you know, just outside the casino, we have a huge casino down here, and a creature ran across the road right in front of them, and it ran into the small wooded area right beside the casino there. So we've had several sightings around in that area, and they're just walking around, you know, they're just running across the road and standing by the road. You know, people see them all the time now. So we got some Bigfoot activity here, and you know, I wish that the searching for Bigfoot would come over here and see what they can come up with, you know, because we would like to get a physical evidence, you know.
I understand. Well, Tom is Tom is in New York right now, and as soon as he gets back now, before he sent his team out there a couple of times, right?
They got some good interesting stuff out here, you know.
I know. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he gets back and things settle down a little bit on this other side, we've got so many things going on right now that he can't take time off right now to go. I mean, he just completed an expedition not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and then he wanted to go on another one because we're getting all these sightings, and I mean, it's amazing. Well, I'm not sure if you heard anybody, but last week and the last two or three weeks or four, last month, I mean, some of these new people coming on and some of their encounter experiences are just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. Some of them, just crazy. I mean, you know, Montana.
Yeah.
Florida.
Well, these creatures do indeed exist, and I saw one. I didn't know what I was really seeing, but later on, I saw the Patterson-Gimlin the video, and and it looked so much like what I saw. And this thing was really huge, tall, and it was real black, you know. So I've been aware of the creature around the Choctaw Reservation for years and years now, and it seems to be more common around my mother's area, my mother's home in that area. They've seen it so many times. So my mother, and I keep on telling the story, she looked out the window one day, and there was a creature just walking yards, just a few yards away from her front porch, and she hollered for my niece, a 30-year-old niece, you know, and said, "What in the world is that?" And she looked out, and my niece has seen it two times before that, just on behind the house, you know, on the yard, and she said, "It's Bigfoot." My mother described it as real tall, and it was she describes it as reddish brown, and it looked the hair looked matted, like it was, you know, she said it looked dirty, and looked like he'd been sleeping in mud or something, you know, but she described it as hunched over, walking, and the arms were swinging, and she said that she watched it, and the creature took one step and seemed to walk over the driveway at one step, you know. So they said they watched it for about a minute, and it went down the hill and disappeared into the woods. But that's the thing. That's the thing that's going on, you know. It's the creature is just, you know, it's not scared of nobody, you know. It doesn't bother anybody. It doesn't.
It doesn't, you know, try to hurt anybody or anything.
My niece, she was scared of it, but you know, she later on she said it didn't look fierce except for that one time when. When she actually saw two of them standing together, just only a few yards away from her, and she looked at them, and the taller one, the bigger one, growled at her, and she said she only turned her head and saw it, and off she ran, you know. So
that was
like her third time, but my sister has seen it. In New York, in Canada, and she's seen it several times here over at my mom's area, you know. So it seems to be commonplace over there in that particular area. So, you know, I just want to say that I know people ridicule people that see these things, but, you know, we know that these things exist. These things are living, breathing.
Yep.
Beings, you know, so and they're very elusive, but you know, people see them around here all the time now. They just seem to be living here, and it's not just one; it's several different colors and everything, different sizes,
right? Yeah,
little bitty
might even be different species. You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Tyrone, we got to get on to our next guest, but here's what I want you to do. Can you?
Right.
I'm going to mute you out. Can you hang on? At the end of the show, we have about a 10-minute period where we just all get together and ask questions and all that. And you can ask questions of any one of the other people, or they can ask you questions, stuff like that. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's all right. All right,
okay.
Jimmy.
I'm going to mute you out for now, and then we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk with Richard from New York. And Tyrone, thank you so much for coming on tonight, keeping us up to date.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. Well, let's go out here to Richard. Richard, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm fine, Mark. Marco, I'm well, thank you.
Good. Hey, for everybody, on www.bigfootlive.com, that's our radio webpage, and you go to what's on the table of contents, you go to what's on this week or what's on, and you'll see that under Richard's listing as a guest on the show here, you'll see a couple of links. And one is a slideshow. It has about 10 pictures, 12 pictures, something like that. The other is a video that he sent in. Now, there's two different parts of this thing. The one stream of pictures is from the video, right, Richard?
Yes, they are.
And basically, what you're calling like the disappearing Bigfoot or disappearing creature.
Yes, it's about a three-second. It takes about, in real time, about 3 seconds for that to happen.
Yeah. And this is where you could see in the video there you detected something and then all of a sudden it gets...
Yeah, I never saw it with my eyes.
Right. It was just what you caught on video. And then the second is several pictures based on some of the still photos that you've taken. And they're actually... what you think are creatures. It looks like creatures there. Now, one of the things, still an issue with the photos is just that they're kind of grainy. Now, and I know there's not much you can do about that, but if when you send these pictures to me the next time, just okay. Don't put any arrows or anything. Just in the text, tell me, where the about in the picture where it's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
Right? And just send me the full resolution photograph. Because what happens is once you've done that, it kind of dissolves the resolution a little bit, and it's very difficult to get a clear picture when you post it. And what I can do is if you give me the picture without any... just playing with all the full resolution, I can, from the very get-go, from the very start, get it into where it's not too grainy and where you can still see definition,
mm-hmm.
And then save it and then put it up on the website, and it makes it look a lot easier. All it is, Richard, is differences in how, how the photograph or the Photoshop and the other programs, work the pixels on the pictures, and that's all it is. But I could make some definition of some of the things that you've seen, and I understand what you're talking about. Why don't you go through it with us? First of all, tell us what's going on. Tell us what's going on out there.
I was there last week, and I went into a new spot. And I actually had the hair standing up on the back of my neck. I had taken a wrong turn, as I explained to Tom. Much more wild part of the preserve than any part I've ever been in. And I thought I heard some bipedal walking.
Yeah.
And it just spooked me so much I got out of there. And I went and I went back over my main trail trying to judge size and stuff. That's why I wasn't. But I did take a wrong turn because I hadn't been in there a year. This is an unmarked trail. And I don't think anybody ever goes back there. It's creepy.
I can imagine it is.
It's more
and you're out there by yourself, right?
Yeah, and there's more trees than in any other part of the preserve I've been in for some reason. And it runs right next to the New York Thruway on one side.
Wow.
I think that's how they're coming up and down. They can go right up anywhere they want. They go follow the Thruway at night. Nobody's going to see them. They follow the tree line. Nobody will ever see them. That's the truth. And when they migrate. And
that's pretty neat.
That's about it. But the in the slideshow, Marco, I pointed out, if you take, those pictures aren't really blown up or anything. If you take, there's, looks like what's a creature disappearing into the tree line, okay? In front of that creature is another creature, and you can see amber eyes. You can see the top of its head. Its head is just at the bush level, and you can see amber eyes.
Okay.
They're like flamethrowers if you really look at it.
What I'm talking about is you've taken the pictures and you've put the arrows in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that your program has changed the pixels of the,
even if
you know, of the pictures. Right.
Yeah.
And the best thing to do so that I can get it clean, get a clean picture, is just send me the picture and just describe, in the email what, you know, where about it is and what I should be looking for. And then I can take it, and then there's nothing, it's clean. And as many times when you go back and forth with that stuff, depending on the program you're using, I mean, there's so many different variations, mm-hmm. you know, some of these programs that have, right? And what it can do is change the pixelization. And so by the time you get it, it's already got, the pixels are already, oversized or whatever, and it makes it very difficult to see a clear picture.
I can see it, but you can't.
Yeah, when you see it, you're seeing the original picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll
get it down. Don't worry. I'll give you.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
How did the video come across, Marco?
The video came across pretty good. Yeah.
When the people look at it, you got to look in the right upper right hand corner, and you got to stop it and start it and stop it and start, because
it does it already. It completely goes over and over and over and over again on a repeat.
Did you see anything?
Well, it appears that there's something here. Yeah, I think you've taken the still shots out of it that makes it more defined.
Well, I did that so they could see what they're looking for.
The still shots are more defined than the video. Video, you know, when you're looking at video, it's snap.
I still have the original on my camera, mm-hmm. chip, and you should see the original on the camera, Marco. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to
probably
tomorrow. Place. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a way that you can send those full resolution, full sized to me,
mm-hmm.
and that way there's no loss or conversion or anything, and that way I can also put those in there so that when people look at it, they're going to see exactly what you see.
Well, I just got to explain to the people. That where that was taken, that creature is at least 8 feet tall, and I think taller, because those bushes that it's going through, you and I can't go through them for one thing, but they're at least between 5 and 6 feet tall, and it's 3 or 4 feet above the bushes.
Wow.
And also, if I try to get over there, as you step off the trail into that area, The land goes down. It goes down about a foot. So that thing is really big. And it doesn't look like it's got ape head on it. And I keep telling people, these things, I don't know if they kill an animal and they put the skin on trying to emulate some. It looks like it's got something over its head. To me, it looked almost like horse ears or dog ears. I don't know what it is. I can't blow it up enough. Because, you know, as you only 14 megapixels, you can't go up. But there is absolutely something there. There is no doubt in my mind.
I understand.
I had a visual sighting.
Yeah.
I had a visual sighting on the day I had my granddaughter with me. I've been seeing footprints there for 3 years. I've heard what they call samurai talking back and forth in the part I can't go in.
Some kind of gibberish, right?
Yeah, it sounded like Japanese or something. But you know what? At the time, Marco, it wasn't like it was coming from a 9 foot or 8 foot tall creature. It wasn't, you know, bassy enough. But there, if you look at that video, there's a little at the bottom, the right hand side of that white trail marker. I call it Curious George. There's like a 2 foot creature that tall. That he would be 2 feet tall if he stood up. It looks like Curious George out of the cartoons.
Huh.
Looks like a little monkey. So they come in all different sizes, all different colors, like your previous guest said.
Different species of these things. We don't know enough about them to be able to determine what it is. That's the big
thing. I've seen everything from 4-inch footprints to 21-inch footprints. You know, it's not a real good area to get footprints from because it's either sand or it's a hard packed dirt. And something makes an impression in that dirt. I weigh 255 pounds. I don't leave a mark.
What you can do, one of the things you can do is it's what Tom and his team do. They call it baiting the area.
Uh-huh. Okay? I could do that.
And what they do is they prepare the area. And how they prepare it is they'll take sand, wet sand, and they'll lay it out, spread it out, so that it's wet. Okay? Mm-hmm. Damp, right? And they'll put bait, sardines, peanut butter, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's in an area where these things would be traveling or going through, like a path or an animal trail or something that they normally would follow when you find an area like that. And you bait it like that, and you'll get footprints. That's how Tom does it. That's what him and Anthony. That's what they did. That's how they got Anthony's footprint.
You want to hear something strange?
Yeah.
Oh, you go maybe 50 yards from where I start on my video. It looks like you're at a beach. It looks like you're the sand. It's all sand, and that runs right into the landfill. And I used to go. They know enough not to walk in there. I've never seen a print in there. I've seen human prints. I've seen dog prints. I've seen deer prints. I've seen hundreds of deer prints there. But you'll never see one of their footprints. They're up a little bit farther. They know not to go in there. They know not to leave footprints. They're not dumb.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you bait an area.
I know. They give them something they really
issue,
want.
The issue is that they're going to want to get the bait, or they want to get something that smells. Mm-hmm. Sardine smells pretty good. Peanut butter, I don't know why, but they seem to like it.
Uh-huh.
And sardines, and there's others, too. I mean, there's other things. There's people have tried, but fruits and other things. But sardines and the peanut butter have been the things that really worked for us. And
Now, if I go in there and try it out, I mean, it's just
try it out. You don't need a lot of sand.
No.
I mean, what I'm talking about is you walk out.
Well, I can take a little shovel and prepare an area, just rough it up.
Well, a shovel or a small rake or something, or a garden tool or something like that, and prepare the area.
Down there.
Yeah.
Now, I was told that if you leave them something like that, they're going to be expecting it every time you come in, though. And I
who cares?
I go in there.
You want to do is get evidence.
They won't get PO'd? They won't get pissed at me?
No. Why?
Because I don't leave them something the next time I come?
Well, they didn't get pissed at Anthony. He goes out there all the time.
I'm not afraid that I would be injured because there's women runners that go through there, and there's mountain bikers that go through there.
Well, I'm sure it's a recreational area, right?
Yes. It's the fact that they would intimidate me until I got out of the part they wanted me. You know what I'm saying, Marco?
Yeah.
Because I guess that's what they try to herd you out of the area they want you out of. I don't think anybody's ever reported being hurt by one.
No, and I wouldn't think that they would unless you were doing something to hurt it or,
Let me tell you something else. My wife where I live is about 3 miles from where I go, and it's all part of the same infrastructure. And my wife swears there's nothing over by our development. I got a series of pictures of what I believe is a white one that went flat on the ground, and people tell me, well, it's rocks. It's the bicep on this thing is so big from laying flat on the ground and the rump. They tell me there's boulders. I know exactly where I took it. There's no boulders over there. It's a dirty white gray, and I can send you those.
Yeah.
It looks like a dirty white gray. It's not very.
We've had other people that have reported that too, Richard.
Did they go to ground?
They were all laying down, crawling in the grass. Several different sightings where they did that. One lady about 5 months ago in bamboo, and it made took in a whole area of bamboo and just kind of laid it down flat and made its own little bedding area. And then when she seen it, it wasn't sleeping, it was awake and it was laying down.
Hiding.
On its stomach.
Breaking its... What makes me so mad is as I got to the part where I took the video, going across, that video goes on for another 3 minutes. What happened is there's something called a Karner blue butterfly where I go. And a Karner blue butterfly flew right in front of me, and I try to catch it on the camera. And I put the camera down, and I walked the next 2 minutes with my camera pointing down on the ground. And I get a kick out of these people, like they say Bigfoot sighted in the Adirondacks. And they'll say, oh, there it is. Look at it, it's running. What's that? You know it's fake, all right?
Yeah.
You know it's phony if they do that. Most people probably you don't act like that. I never saw what I went by. And the reason I think I never saw them is because I was listening for audio. I had my camera on trying to catch audio because I had heard a branch snap and a scream about 3 days before that. And my wife said, just walk with your camera on audio or on video. Maybe you'll catch something. And I think that's the only reason they were watching me, because I didn't have that camera up to my eye, They're that smart and that inquisitive that, they wanted to see what I was doing, and they knew I wasn't watching. That I wasn't seeing them.
They do that, I'm sure. Well, I got to we're getting running. I'm running over time here, buddy. You're going to stay until the end,
absolutely,
right?
Oh, absolutely, Marco.
Thanks for coming on. And send me some of those other pictures. And then I want to talk to you. I'll probably call you tomorrow or Friday.
I'll send you a whole bunch of untouched stuff just right off this video.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how you can do it.
Okay.
Via email, where you can upload and download in large files. You don't got to worry about sending 10 emails and all that other stuff. You just send the whole package once. Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to load everything right directly.
I have a system that you use where you upload everything. It sends me an email. You give me a password. I put the password in, and I can download it all.
If I send Tom the full
videos, everything.
If I send Tom the full 4 minute or 5 minute video,
Tom, how big is the file? Is it under a gig?
I have not, Mark. I don't know that.
Yeah, it's under a gig. I'm sure it is. Probably a 300 or 400 megs.
If I sent you that whole video from the beginning when I start, you will understand how it happened. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'll get a hold of you, but. Richard, I'll get a hold of you tomorrow, and I'll explain it to you, and we can that way you'll be able to transfer things easier,
easier.
Okay.
You guys will be amazed. I really do, Marco. If I send you the whole.
Well, video. I want to see the full video.
How the.
Okay,
how,
Richard.
How
I want to mute you out for now, and we're gonna go. I got to go quickly over here to Anthony, and hang in there. We're gonna pretty soon here at the end here. We're gonna have a little get together with everybody.
Sir. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
And here we go. Anthony, how are you, my friend?
All right, Dave, Marco.
And Dave, I got you on here. I got you, Dave. I got you on there.
Okay, great.
So, Anthony,
yes,
how are you?
All right, hanging in there. How are you doing there, Marco?
I'm hanging in there, too.
The past couple of weeks, and hope the family's doing well.
Yeah, everything's fine. We're just biding our time here.
Okay.
You know, well, tax season, it all piles up.
Okay. Well, I got two.
Tell us
two different.
Well, first of all, tell us a couple of things that's going on there.
Okay. I don't know if you remember in the past when I told you about a friend of mine that he had went out with his dogs, and you know he's been having a lot of experiences with his dogs in the back of his property there. They've done some recent logging in the area. First of all, the activities were just, you know, increasing. You know, it was starting to become a daily occurrence when they were in his area, right on his property. However, they started logging not too far from where he lived, and ever since that has happened, you know, he said that they just about stopped, you know. So he doesn't know if they're still there, if they're being quiet, or if they moved on, you know.
Well, they maybe moved to a different area because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be in an area, I mean, with their families and everything else. They want to be in a kind of an area where they can be quiet and, you know, they're kind of elusive. And they'd like to, I'm sure that's what it is. But I don't think they left the area. If they've been in the area for quite some time, they probably stay in the area.
Well, I hope, you know. Maybe they just got a different schedule. You know, I mean, that's another possibility. But
sure.
Did have I don't know if you the other friend of mine that's you know probably about an hour away from that one. You know, he is having increased activity in his area. I mean, and just like some of your earlier guests talking about, you know, the type of Japanese language with him, you know, he's calling it monkey chatter. You know, that's what it sounds like in his yard. And, you know, and it's happening quite a bit, you know. Doesn't hear them coming or going, but, you know, he knows they're in the area because he said, all you have to do is just be quiet, and then you just start hearing them talking to each other in the distance.
Huh. Well, that's pretty good. Well, so far, I mean, you've probably been on the Internet, and you've probably... There's several places you can go to listen to different various howls, screams, bellows, mimicking animals, and also the chatter that you're talking about, the sounds like a Japanese kind of a chatter, I guess they call it, whatever.
Right.
And you know, I mean, they're on the line. Of course, you can go out and buy their CD. There's a couple of guys that have done some really good work here through the years of collecting those kinds of noises and things, those recordings. But there's also some on the Internet you can listen to free, and it's pretty interesting. And one of the things that come to my mind is several of the people that we've had over the years, I'm talking about the past 7 years now, there's been several of them that have experienced talking between, they're not talking to them, but I mean experienced listening to them talk to each other, communicating. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's a lady in Texas. There's a lady in, where was that, Alabama. Used to feed them out in her backyard. One lady I think that we had on, the Pancake Lady, here about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different things that go on, and it's pretty interesting. Some of the things. I wish we were more organized to get a lot of information and be able to, you know, to factualize all the different stuff and, you know, document. It's very difficult to do. But you can get enough little pieces and bits that you can finally start putting things together after a while. It's just like, you know, when you guys went out. I'll tell you what, why don't you tell everybody how you prepared your area?
When Tom had come, when we had casted that print?
Is that, yeah.
That particular, yeah, well, I know what Tom and his team did. You know, they took...
Well, just describe it so everybody knows.
Well, they, you know, they softened up the ground. You know, they moistened it up and they kind of camouflaged.
How did they soften it up?
With water, you know.
Okay.
They broke up the dirt, you know, and they kind of softened up with water so that, you know, so if anything stepped on there, I mean, it just, you know, easily stick out. they baited the area with sardines and peanut butter. They set the game cameras up. And I got to say, even with the game cameras up, man, these buggers are quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we think that they can detect the infrared range. And so the sensors on the cameras, and when they go, I mean, they're able to detect that.
Right.
Okay. And we've only gotten hands. I mean, we've never really gotten a full body or a face or anything like that. All we've gotten is the hand in a peanut butter jar and a few other little things. We have where they've ripped a camera down.
Yeah.
Crawled up in a tree, broke the camera, and peed in it.
Oh, that's DNA for you. Yeah. So thankfully they didn't break the camera.
Well, that happened to Mitch. They put a game camera up there, and the doggone thing, he looked at it, and the face of the camera was broke, and he went up and got the camera, and was full of this kind of yellowish liquid.
Oh,
and so he poured it into a test tube, and sure enough, it must have been mad. It crawled up the tree, pounded the camera in, and peed inside the camera.
No, no hair or anything, just urine?
Just urine, yeah.
Okay.
But it's amazing. It's the thing you find.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned also they had pooped in one of them jars, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the same time when there's a lady in Texas. She had the creatures were coming up and they were leaving presents on her doorstep. Presents meaning little different colored rocks piled up. And then she found little piles of rocks that were all, formed. And so then, Tom showed her how to, get a footprint on a porch so you could tell what was digging in the garbage can. And you take some flour, spread it out, and that kind of stuff, right? Well, what happened was the team went down there, and they spent about 3 days down there. And sure enough, they had 26 people that showed up to help. And when they were done, three people had visual encounters. And another person had was right next to him, but he couldn't see it because it was so dark. But he could smell it, and he could hear the growl.
Oh.
Of course, he turned white and pale. So it was like a big surprise. He thought it was one of the guys on the team next to him.
Well, I remember when Tom was out there. I remember Rex when he was setting up. All that equipment and when the other guys were doing their bait and preparing the ground, we were out there even with Tom and even the camera crew, those guys from Minnow Films. They were smelling it. You know, they were smelling it too.
Yeah,
we smelled it just like that. You know, like the way Tom helped me describe it, that musky smell. You know, almost like a skunk.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we had the hand in the peanut butter jar. And we had a picture of the hand in the peanut butter jar. And we took a cast of the hand in the peanut butter jar. And we got fingerprints from the hand in the peanut butter. And then the next day, the lady went out, and they were looking for the peanut butter jar. They couldn't find it. Because it was, set up on the tree for bait, right? Okay. And they found the sardine cans all bent up and empty. And they looked, and behind a little pile of bushes, and there's this peanut butter jar with full of poop, with the peanut butter pooped in the peanut butter. So she took it. She sent it in for evaluation. And, of course, the people that she sent it to, Tom was trying to help her to do it and to get the results and all that stuff. And she, somebody else convinced her that it would be better for her to send it to this other organization or something. She sent it to the other organization. The other organization kept it.
Oh, not convenient.
Yeah, so she didn't have nothing. But we got pictures of it, and it's amazing. But, yeah. But anyway, so you you're keeping pretty aloof of what's going on around you there.
Yeah, you know, you did a great job putting the pictures up that I sent you, you know, in the past, the recent past. But those were those formations there that I sent you. Those were like brand new formations because I happened to be there, you know. You know, I was back there not too long before that, and then I come back and, you know, and we got this tree bent over and just got this other one, you know, jammed in between the fork of a tree. You know, I was like,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, I said, something's going on here, which, and the interesting thing, and I know it's going to be heartbreaking to hear, but the tree that I normally set up my game camera on was, honest to God, was literally in front of that tree. I wasn't trying to catch anything from that tree. I was trying to catch the path that was in that area, you know, because it was two paths.
Yeah.
And I had two game cameras set up. And, you know, normally when I set them up, one down one path and one down the other. But, you know, but I was just going back there just to see if anything was, you know, where should, you know, I try somewhere else. And sure enough, you know, they had already been there.
Wow. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for coming on. In a few minutes here, we'll all get together on the end.
All right.
If you can hang around, we'd like it.
Sure.
I'm going to, what we can do is go to Dave here next, and he's got some stuff that's been going on. Thank you for coming on again, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
All you guys have been just super. Theron, Richard, you, Dave, you guys are just super people. Always call me, let me know what's going on, and it's kind of nice because when you're in these different areas and stuff like that, you know, it kind of supplements all these calls we get all the time, you know, with them on the hotline. Of course, we do get some, you know, a lot of crank calls too. Kids, you know, I had a call yesterday from a kid during his school lunch break.
Well, I want to tell you real quick, the area where we did cast that footprint, the homeowner that lives down there, just to let you know, that area is still very, very active. We're welcome to come back there. And if Tom is in the neighborhood, please, you know, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he'll be contacting everybody. It's been, the last few months have been just unbelievable. And there's all these different projects. People are contacting him now, all these different people. And, you know, of course, everybody wants something for nothing, but you know, they want to do this, they want to do that. Well, all that was takes your time, right? It takes away your time to do the things that you want to do. And when you got to go have meetings and things like that, it takes more time. And so what he's trying to do is trying to curtail how much time he has to spend doing this stuff and kind of guarantee that he's just not going to a frivolous meeting, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of money cost of airplane tickets
yeah,
or driving.
A lot of people, yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what adds up. Yep. So, but thank you so much, and we'll keep in touch, and I'll see you here just in a little few minutes here. I want to get out here to Dave here and see how he's doing. Thank you, Anthony.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony from Virginia. And now we're going to go out here to Dave. Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Marco Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Dave.
Oh, sure. You betcha.
We kind of cut you off last week.
Oh, not a problem.
We're not going to cut you off this week.
Well, it was really busy last week, and it was really interesting, too. Yeah, we continue to have activity. I wanted to go out this week since, you know, from last Wednesday, but we've had tremendous winds and lots of dust, and, it just doesn't really make for a good squatch experience. So, but the weather looks like it's starting to clear out here. Unfortunately, all this weather is headed back east, you know, and they're going to have tornadoes and all kinds of terrible weather. So anybody that lives east of the Rockies, just brace yourself. So
wow.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, we've had some circumstances out here, actually very interesting. And, you know, they're like clockwork. They come almost exactly to the day that you may have seen them a year or two before. And actually,
wow.
Tom and TJ told me that years ago when we were out squatching out in the Texas area. And that's exactly the way it is this year. We're getting the same exact activity, you know, by the week at least. So, I had a friend named Daryl who lives in this area, and he lives very close to lives at the edge of our town of Farmington. And he was telling me that he had gone to the river, walked a few hundred yards toward the river where he lives, and he had there's a couple of islands up there, and this was like 1 in the afternoon. He had some strange activity occur, and one of them was he started getting rocks thrown at him, just, you know, not small rocks, and they weren't deliberately trying to hit him, but they were going around him, and he was on the cell phone with me. Yeah, and so he says, "Dave, I'm seeing, you know, these rocks are whistling at me, hitting mud right behind me." And he says, "Now I'm hearing these strange owl sounds, and I'm hearing rustling in that little island." He had walked on the island just like a few minutes before. And he says, "There was nothing. I didn't see anything up there. I guess something must have been hiding." And then when they were doing the owl sounds, he says, "Here, listen to this." You know, he was putting the cell phone in that direction. I couldn't hear anything, but he says, "Dave, they're there, you know." So then he started getting the stink stench. I said, "Well, describe to me what it smells like, you know." And he says, "It smells like garbage." He says, "Stinky, rotten garbage." And see, Daryl has never had any experience with Bigfoot before or similar creatures, whatever they may be. So he's given me an account, raw account of what's going on. He doesn't know their habits or anything. You know, I really haven't discussed it. He really doesn't want to hear much about it when I talk to him about it. So we did an investigation the next, let's see, actually 2 days later. I thought it was the next day, but it was 2 days later. And we went over there, and we found some evidence that there was something on that island occupying it and smashing down grass. And there were, like, small stick formations in the salt cedar. But what was really intriguing is Daryl took me over to another part of that park in that area that they're at, and we walked probably about 3/4 of a mile, and we went into the Russian olive, which is a really invasive species of plant that had been brought over apparently from Europe and Russia. It grows real well in wet areas. Here in the Southwest, that stuff actually sucks water out of our river. It's just really invasive, and it's dangerous to walk through because it has thick thorns 2 to 3 inches long. Yeah, it's really nasty stuff. So he said that he had just kind of hiked through some Russian olive, just wanted to see what was in there because there were these trails. So we walked in there, and sure enough, we found some, like, a nesting area. You know, there was a really nicely built, to me, it looked kind of, it reminded me of a fort that a kid would put together, but it was only about maybe 3.5 foot tall, almost 4 foot. And it was real bouncy. It has suspension on it. You know, you put your hand on it, and it bounces, but it doesn't fall apart. And we also found a stick formation there that was integrated really, really nicely into the Russian olive. And I don't think any humans would do that. I mean, to do that into all that, you know, those needles and brambles and everything, it was like, well, if Bigfoot can do this, he did a great job, but no human would go in there and do that. So we speculated that. And then with the activity that Daryl was experiencing, we've concluded that, or come to a consensus that we may be dealing with a Bigfoot in the area that comes in not all the time, but maybe comes in, you know, several times a year. And there's also a neighborhood very close by, so we're just assuming things. And I said, well, you know, if I was right here, I would wait till about, you know, anywhere between 1 and 4 in the morning, and I think I'd go over to the houses nearby because there's a neighborhood. And you can see the roofs and stuff. And I thought, you know, these people probably don't even know what's going on. You know, it's just so elusive. Maybe a few people may have seen it, but they don't want to talk about it. So I may go to that neighborhood sometime, just ride my bike through there and just talk to people, you know, when they're watering their grass or something. Say, hey, you had some weird things happen in your neighborhood. canvass them, you know, a few, and there might be some that might speak out. But it's very interesting because these things are getting so close to urban subdivision, yet I don't hear any real stories about them other than there is a fire station nearby. And then Daryl did tell me that some of these firemen had talked about Bigfoot in that area. They've seen it. They just don't want to talk about it because, you know, they work for city government.
Right, and they don't want to, you know, get involved in the controversy.
Yeah, and it's within view of that island, too. It's you know, there's actually businesses nearby. There's a Wendy's where our friend John Lee works, and it's just within sight. I mean, you know, we're even surmounting that possibly these things might even go to the trash can late at night, you know, and go raid their trash. And I've asked John, I said, have you ever noticed anything weird about your trash can moved? He says, no, we'll never really notice because nobody's here at that time, so... Or garbage spilled, you know. So, but yeah, there's a fast food restaurant and things like that. So yeah, we do have some really interesting things going on in our area. And
pretty neat.
Yeah, and I just got some reports from our friend that lives down the river there. She told me that her husband had, you know, he's always knew that there was some kind of creature around there, but he's never seen one. Just seen the tracks on their property, and he finally got a chance to see one finally about. Oh, probably about three weeks ago, he was looking out the kitchen window early morning. He usually wakes up because, you know, the kids are going to school and stuff, and he was just watching his he's got DirecTV or something and had a remote in his hand, and the dogs were just starting to wail really loud, and he went outside. He did go outside right away. He went to look out the window. This was like about 6:30 in the morning, just when the light's coming up, and you can start seeing things outside, but it's still fairly dark. So he looked out and he said there was this tall, dark, hairy thing standing in the middle of the road outside their property. And it's a paved road, and it's very rural farmland type stuff, but there's homes directly around them. The thing was just standing right there. And I guess her husband was shocked, and he dropped the remote on the floor, on the hardwood floor, and it made a loud enough noise that thing turned around and looked right at them, and it just took right off. He said it was just very, very quick. So that was his very first sighting of a Bigfoot after all these years, having all that activity, you know, that covert activity.
Well, that's pretty neat, really.
Yeah, and... So I haven't been down to the valley this week, but I was thinking in the early morning I might just start, you know, go driving around there. It's been we have a big cold front. I don't know if that'll affect anything, but any kind of change seems to bring these creatures out. You know, they must get hungry. And to be honest with you, I was thinking of buying a few apple pies over at Walmart and just strategically put them in places, you know, because they seem to like those a lot. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, there's actually a drummer friend of mine that plays in a band with me, and his sister has a lot of activity just right inside the reservation. And I've even seen the baby footprints and the mother footprints, and that was last year. And I told him, I said, we need to just go and put some apple pies, you know, for them, and then see if we can get some pictures, or, you know, with the cams, or even a live picture, something. But the activity, you know, and it's so strange that we have this activity, you know, because here we are in the high desert southwest. I mean, you know, we sit about a mile high, and when I was a kid, I used to think all this was out, like, in, you know, the northwest in Washington and Oregon. And by the 1980s, after I got out of high school, I started hearing a trickle of stories starting to come out, people seeing creatures. And I even had a girlfriend that we were riding horses one day by the Animas River, and it was starting to get late in the afternoon, and she said, we got to get out of here now. I said, how come? She goes, the Bigfoot's going to come out here. I said, what?
No.
Don't. You know, and I was really actually very disappointed in her for her telling me that story. I started shaking my head, like, you know, I didn't criticize her, but I said, you know, this girl's loony. There are no Bigfoots here. Well, and as you know, time passed, and we have a good friend named Wes, that's been involved with searching for Bigfoot too, on some local expeditions, and he told me when he was a kid, this is an area between Aztec and Farmington, and he also lived in that same area too, and he told me here about 3 years ago, he says, Dave, my dad used to tell me not to be out late, you know, as soon as the sun went down. I said, how come? He says, well, because my dad said the Monkey Man would come out. And I said, what year was this? He says, like, early 80s. He said, I was a real little kid back then. And I said, wow, that was just about the time I was dating that girl. I was like, I guess there was something.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I did hear one story actually about 2 years ago from a good friend that lives by the river in that general area, and he didn't see anything, but they would normally have deer around August every day in a field. And he said the deer disappeared one day, and they were hearing these strange coyote howls. They were like fake coyote, and even his wife was getting scared because they normally would take a walk every evening. And she wanted to turn around and go home. And, you know, this is like at the northern edge of Farmington. And so I guess that they do have, I don't think they're quite resident, but they seem to be passing through definitely, and, you know, maybe through a migration
sure.
period. But they're, that's, you know, the reports are scattered in that area, but on the San Juan here, we're just getting them regularly, and I expect them to be pretty heavy this year, too.
Wow. Well, hey, let's open it up for everybody, should we?
Okay, great.
Here we go. Tyrone. Richard.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
I'm Anthony.
Hey, everybody.
Rocky.
Hey.
And Steve's there. So we have Steve, Rocky, Anthony, Richard, Tyrone, and Dave.
Who?
Who wants to be first?
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Richard, too. It's mine, too.
Okay, you too, Richard.
Happy birthday.
You know who else shares with us? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh.
Well, let me tell you, I just heard a story this morning from a friend of mine. He said that when he was about 10 years old, him and his brother, just nearby my house, was walking through the trail, and they saw this small monkey-type creature just running away from them. So that was another story that I heard this morning. So these creatures are around. Anybody else?
The one video or the one picture I have, there's I said there's one that looks like Curious George. He's only about 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's brown.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. I got a question. Has anybody ever seen anything that they would consider to be Bigfoot poop? What it looks like?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
Because
there's pictures of Bigfoot poop in a peanut butter jar on the website.
I'll tell you, because Marco, pictures, I don't know if it is or not, it looks like big cow pies. You know, like squirrely.
Normally it looks like the stuff that I've seen looks more like human feces, only large.
That's right.
Yeah, it looks like human feces, but it's larger. But who knows? I mean, we don't know everything.
I had that too, but I thought it was a horse that went through there. And, you know,
horses normally don't make pies. Horses normally make apples.
No. Across from where these pies were, where these big swirly, there was big. It looked like human feces, but it was more how could I say? It was the texture was more like a horse would do. Maybe it was. I don't know. I actually had grabbed some that I don't have it anymore for some reason.
Well, does anybody out there seen these X marks? I went through the woods behind my mother's house, and I saw two X's. 2 weeks later, it wasn't there.
Wow.
TP formation, those things?
Yeah. I saw one of those 3 weeks ago, and it was like in our city limits. That was experience I had with my friend who showed me in the Russian olive. It was an X mark, and it was actually more of like a star, and it was very well woven into the Russian olive. Which I said, there's no human that would take the chance of ripping his skin and shirt to do that.
They must have some pretty tough darn skin.
I believe so.
Well, Chris has had some pictures and things about different markings and things that he's experienced here in the last few months. And if you take a look at some of his stuff, it's pretty neat. There's X's, and there's actually tree, different branch formations and things like that. I mean, right in his backyard.
Has anybody ever heard of him skinning a tree? Taking the bark off a tree?
Yeah.
Yes. I've seen that around the substation where I was first having the rock throwing incidences and how I got all started into this. But I've also seen the stick formation, which is kind of interesting because it looks like if a human comes by and, you know, kind of cuts down a tree just clearing, or if maybe it fell on the road or whatever, they'll take the part that's cut and then they'll use that, and you could see the cut end sticking up like way up in the air, and I just find that amazing too. You know, somebody's
a lot of your this giant whatever. I've seen a lot of them where they've taken the bark off the trees sometimes to get a little thing of fiber in their body, but most times to take the bark off a dead piece of tree because of the bugs and stuff that are up underneath the wood, like the grub worms and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's because I had that one picture of the deer head in the tree, and it was the bark was taken off up to about 10 feet, 8, 9 feet, and I thought maybe it was a dead tree, but there's no branches on the tree either.
Right.
How did the deer head get up there about 20 feet up in the, you know, where nobody would even look for it?
Somebody was playing football.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was wedged into a hole in the tree.
Maybe the general
wow.
guy came by.
I would say that part of the spinal cord was in the hole of the tree.
Hmm. Wow.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And I can post that up on also.
Well, we had the picture of that.
Oh, I'm sure you do. It looks like a fawn's head. Doesn't look like an adult
deer.
It looks like a fawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on your page, Marco.
You sent me the picture that I posted it on there. Say again?
That's on your page, Marco?
Yeah, I think if you look at one of the shows, you'll see that Richard has that. It's under Richard. It's, if you look on the radio show page.
Okay.
And you take a look underneath where the listings for the guests are, and I've got some of the pictures and things that the shows have had, and I think his is right there. If it's not, I'll go take a look here in the next couple of days and,
if not, I'll
and repost. Yeah.
Okay, I'll check that out.
I mean, I feel we're all in this together, all right? There shouldn't be egos in this. We should be trying to solve this thing because enough people think we're crazy.
Exactly.
Everybody thinks we're crazy. I mean, that's not unknown.
I'd like to prove it. You know, it shouldn't be an ego thing.
Well, look at when they came, what was it? 100 years ago, Marco, or was it more than 100 years ago when they were trying to prove that the Great Eight actually existed and everybody thought they were crazy until they proved it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was on the website. It took about 60 years for them to prove that the apes existed.
Yeah, how many guys had their friends say, what are you, nuts? There can't be anything out there. Because they don't go out there. They don't know.
Well, see, the scientific community has a difficulty. They deal primarily, they say everything has to be fact, but everything they deal with is theory.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So what they have to do is get all these facts to prove their theory.
You know, but you could produce a, hardcore, I mean, you could produce an entire body and then they'll either say, oh, it's not Bigfoot, you know, I mean... Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard to refute DNA, okay? It's kind of hard to do, I mean, if you get the right venue. The problem is it has to be acceptable to the body of science, where they... I mean, if you look at anything and you follow these guys, I mean, my God, almost anything you can think of, whether it be planetary... you know, evolution or whatever, it takes an indescribable amount of time for them to come to an agreement on anything,
right.
Even with evidence, okay? So it's a difficult thing. But I think the main thing is documentation. And if it's documented and the DNA is documented and all that, and it's documented and put in the right place, placed in the right hands, then
yeah,
that documentation
like
will stand.
Yeah, the documentation will stand. And, you know, here's something. Take all your research and file it in the Library of Congress. Everybody will have access to it.
True.
That works.
Yeah.
Hopefully pretty soon here we'll have a real good evidence of the creature, you know, and it's, you know, I saw the video, local video here, and it was amazing, you know, and there was this creature standing there, and it was turning its head left and right, and then it turned around and walked into the woods, and we had that that video there, and the lady was... she was hard-headed about it. She wouldn't let it go. So we couldn't get that video. So
she'll understand. Yeah.
Yeah, but I saw the creature, and some guy said some guy that works with the Game and Fish Commission saw it too, and he was saying it's a bear, but you know we don't have brown bears here. This was a kind of a reddish-colored creature, and if there's going to be bears here in Mississippi, it would be a black bear, but it wasn't black, and it sure didn't look like a bear. It was standing there like a man and turned around and walked off like a man, so, you know, we need to get more and more videos of this thing here, and
I feel like
here in Mississippi, if they come here and just stay long enough, they'll get a real good evidence of it in video.
You know, most people, we see things because we're out looking and we're aware.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's been people who've gone on picnics and camps that have been observed by these creatures that never saw them. Probably thousands
of
people.
Well, I'm sure there have. I mean, there's many instances where people are at these picnics and other things like that, and they've, by chance, happened to view. I know there was at least three incidents last year where they were having a family picnic and about 40 or 50 people at the picnic, and they looked in the tree and there's these two creatures hollering and bellowing at each other for about 15 minutes. And
my friend Matt called, and we went out there where they took the video, and I was walking around in that area, and he was videotaping me. I looked around and looked through the thickets and everything. I didn't see anything, but he was videotaping me, and he called me two nights ago, and he said, "Hey, I think I got a video of the creature behind you." So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, the camera sees what you don't see.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to make time to come over and bring his laptop, and we're going to view it again. I haven't viewed that yet, but, you know, he's, you know, pretty excited about it. He wants me to see it. So I'll be looking at that pretty soon when he gets time to come over to my house to let me see it, but... He says it's a creature right there in the thicket, you know.
Wow. Well, everybody, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming on tonight and sharing. And true blue soldiers that you are, thank you very much. And we'll see everybody next week. Tom will be back. I'm sure that Tom will be back next week. Have some good news for us.
Cool.
I'd like to, again, Jody, say a little prayer or well wisher from her operation today on her knees. She'll be back with us here in a couple of weeks. We'll have her back on again. That's all we have, and we're going to see everybody next week. Keep on, keep Bigfooting.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night, everybody out there. And big
good night, Marco. I'm muting myself out.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Mark O'Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Mason Mysteries.